Hey, what's up, guys? It's your man, I Do a Barber, back with another Beyond the Chair podcast today. It is Tuesday. By the time you're watching this, if I'm a gracious host, maybe it's Tuesday, but more than likely it'll be Wednesday. So happy Wednesday, happy hump day, halfway through the week. I really just wanted to get on here because I was actually really compelled to do this specific episode, and I did miss last week, yes. I did say that I was going to come back to YouTube this week, yes. But all of that is wrong. I didn't do a podcast last week. I'm not coming back to YouTube this week. And I really said to myself, I don't want to come back and then disappear. Because I hate when content creators do that when they've been gone for a while. They'll pop back up on the radar and then they'll just go back into hiding. I hate that. And as you guys know, if you guys know me, or I would hope so, if you've listened to enough of the content to know that I like to do things the way I like them. If I don't like something, I'm not going to do that. It just makes no sense. So it makes no sense for me to do things that I hate. That's why I move in the way that I move. So when I decide to come back, maybe it'll be next week. I'm just going to be honest. Maybe it'll be next week, maybe the week after, I don't know. But it will be an ongoing commitment once I do come back, because I don't want to do that. I hate it. I hate when content creators do that, especially when they've been gone for a long time. But I'm really compelled for this episode because I see a lot of stuff. Some things have happened to me lately, good things, of course, and I just said to myself, like, man, I'm really inspired and I really need to get this message out here to you guys. For those of you that are willing to listen, for all of my young people, especially now, this episode is good for anyone, but especially I'm trying to hammer this message home to my 20 and 30 year olds. Oh my gosh. So recently I hit a financial goal of mine. So many of you know, I invest in dividends, among other things. And one of my goals for this portfolio was to get this portfolio. Now, look, this is a short-term goal. I have many goals of this portfolio. Long-term goal is I want this portfolio over $1 million. Long-term goal. Another long-term goal, I want it to produce $5,000 a month. Long-term goal. But short-term goal that I hit recently was the portfolio is now yielding me $200 a month. Now, that might sound very small and minuscule to some, but for me, that's a big deal. When you think of, I absolutely have to do nothing for this money. This money just comes in like clockwork. I have to do nothing for this. I don't have to clock in anywhere. I don't have to exchange my time for money for this. And if I just leave this thing in perpetuity to grow, it will grow for me. So it won't just stagnate at $200 a month. It will compound as the years go on and on and on. And this is one thing I really love about dividend investing, is because once you get your portfolio value to a good enough amount, and depends upon how much it yields you, and also depends on the compound on your growth rate, your dividends will grow. So it's not like you're just going to make this set amount of money. Your money should compound over the year. So it's just like you're getting a raise, just like most people get a raise in their job every year. Now, why is that $200 important to me? Because it's a step in the right direction. It's one of those things where I remember when I was getting 9-cent dividends. I remember these days. The 15-cent dividend. I remember those days. And I recently was looking at my dividend payouts, and they're in the 40s, 60s, 30s, teens, things like the 20s and stuff like this. And I'm getting these payments every week. Sometimes multiple payments a week, sometimes maybe one per week. Sometimes I'm making I remember one day, I got enough money in dividends in one day that exceeded the amount of money that I made in the barbershop that day. And I was like, wow, that wasn't the eye-opening moment for me, but that was just another, I would say more gratifying moment where it just proves the point that this is something that's worth fighting for. This is something. Now, a lot of people don't like dividend, and I'm not trying to convince you to become a dividend investor. It's not for everyone because this is the road less traveled. It's a lot sexier to do other things. It's a lot sexier to claim that you have rental properties. It's a lot sexier to say I'm in crypto. It's a lot sexier to say that, ooh, I own Tesla and I bought it at this price, which actually I recently sold out of my Tesla shares. But of course, you know, I rolled them into dividend stocks because I'm a firm believer in if you make some money somewhere, don't just take the money out and do something foolish. At least roll it into more investments. So that's what I did. I just rolled this money, the majority of it, into dividend paying stocks. So again, this is the road less traveled. You know, a lot of people don't have the patience for dividends because I tell you guys, it's one of those things where in the beginning, you're not going to make a whole lot of money. It's going to take a little bit of time. And this is why I preach to you guys, if you invest, to get your portfolio value to 100K. Now, before I continue on that thought, let me say this. If you guys want help planning, some coaching, hit me up on Instagram and I can help you with this. Of course, the Instagram handle is I Do a Barber. But for those of you that are curious, and I know some of you have reached out to me and got some one-on-one coaching, and I honestly recommend a follow-up because a lot of times when you do something once, maybe you fall off track and maybe you don't do the things that we've discussed in the one-on-one, and it's good to follow up and see what's going on, maybe push the limits a little bit further. And, you know, that's the purpose of coaching or a mentor. You know, you have someone there to keep you accountable because I know what you did last summer. But back to the portfolio. So I always tell people you want to get your portfolio value to 100K as quickly as possible. Now, I am close to 100K. I should probably hit 100K in portfolio value. If I'm lucky next year, I should hit 100K next year. But that short-term goal of the $200 a month is, like I said, it's a step in the right direction because this amount is an amount that I understand when you're reinvesting the dividends, it's an amount that can compound quickly if you keep contributing to your portfolio, which I am. So I can quickly see this amount hopping up to easily. Hopping up to $300 a month, and we're having a totally different conversation maybe a year from now, maybe. And with this latest tranche of stocks that I bought, because I really haven't been buying stocks that heavily this year. So this last tranche, I spent about 10 grand, which I might be spending another 3 grand this week. Got some checks in the mail. Remember, I think we talked about this, those checks I've been waiting for. One of them have came in the mail. And yeah, I might just throw that into some stocks as well. So with this latest tranche, it really bumped up my income. And it really made me think for a second, like, wow, that's a massive jump just for 10K. You know, and the portfolio value before that, I mean, obviously I have more than 10K in this account, but I was like, wow, just with this 10K, it's bumped up my annual income this much just from this passive income source. It's like, wow, because I do have other passive income sources, which that was another goal of this dividend portfolio, was to get this above some of my other passive income sources. And I've exceeded that on a couple of them, which is great because at the end of the day, once I go into retirement, if you guys don't know, I plan to leave barbering at the age of 50. I'm currently 40, soon to be 41. And this is going to be one of my main sources of income in retirement, this and real estate income. So I'm trying to build this pie. I'm trying to build this ship and make it as big as possible. So once I get into those later years, I can start really reaping the rewards of all of these years of sacrifice and investing and blah, blah, blah. And another thing about investing, you also have to enjoy it. It really does make the journey of investing that much more fun when you actually enjoy it. Because if you're just making all these sacrifices and you're like, you feel like you're losing out on this and that because your friends are doing this and they're over here doing that. But no, you're sacrificing, not spending so much money to do this, but you're investing. Me personally, I enjoy it because I know the majority of people do not have this much money stacked away for retirement, and my stockpile is constantly growing. I know that most people don't invest this much money regularly. I know this much people, I know the majority of people don't even have the money to, this amount of money to invest. They look, if it's so funny because one of my clients, she was like, oh man, I was watching something in the barbershop, something about money, and the person was saying that they invest $900 a month. And she was like, man, like how can you invest $900 a month? How's that even possible? And I wanted to interject and say, like, yeah, it is possible, you know, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But I was like, I probably shouldn't, because I invest much more than $900 a month. I'm investing thousands of dollars a month. And I didn't want to say that because I don't want her to feel inferior or feel bad, you know, me saying, you know, because she thinks $900 a month is a lot. But me personally, at this part of my journey, I don't think that's enough. You know, the way things go, I'm investing over $3,000 a month. Yeah, $4,000 a month. But I know some of you listening might find that a little bit strange as well. Like, whoa, man, I don't even have $900. I don't even have $500 a month. The key, what I always tell you guys with investing, is just start somewhere. Just start somewhere and then figure it out. What I mean by figure it out is figure out a way where, one, you can just get started. But then two, figure out something where you can start adding to that as you go on. Because one, you want to get into the habit of investing. That's the one habit you, especially if you're not used to it or if you're a little bit apprehensive of it or whatever, you want to get into the habit of consistently investing. Most people don't do this. Most people find this hard. So you want to get into the habit. But then once you get that habit established, it's confirmed and it's built in, maybe you automate it, then you can start working on ways where you can increase your contributions. So this is what I try to get people to do. And I encourage you guys to do this, especially in your 20s, guys. Because if you can build this mindset in your 20s, if you can establish this in your 20s, I've already done podcasts on the effects of compounding over a 20, 30, 40 year period. So we're not going to go there. But since you know that, you should know that in your 20s, you have a golden opportunity. If you're in your 30s, you have a golden opportunity. If you can do this in your 20s, please. Even if, look, guys, you don't have to invest $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month like myself or other people. I mean, I know people that invest more than what I invest. And I'm like, wow, congratulations. You know, that's wonderful. But you want to do something, even if it's $200, $300 a month. If you go online and just mess with I forget the name of the calculators. Let me look this up and see what is this thing called. It's called a compound interest calculator. Jeez, why did I not think of that? So if you look at a compound interest calculator online, just type it into Google. You'll find one. I use one specifically. What's that website? It is, let me look this up. Money Chimp. They have a really good one. It's very simple. Just go to Money Chimp, like the monkey. Is it a monkey or is it an ape? Chimp. Chimpanzee. No, that's an ape because it doesn't have a tail. So go to Money Chimp, like the ape, chimp.com, like pimp, simp, wimp, chimp.com. And you can go here and play with the numbers. You can play with your current principal, annual additions, years of growth, interest rate, blah, blah, blah. You can just play with all these numbers and see what's capable, see what's possible. And this is what I want you to do. So go to moneychimp.com and just play with the numbers and get motivated, because you're going to see what a golden opportunity you're missing out on. Now, I have clients that are paying over $900. This is insurance included, a month on a car. I have clients that are 18% interest rates on cars. And these guys are in their 20s. I've been there before, guys. And why I speak so passionately to my clients about this is because I see myself in them. I see myself. But now, in my 20s, I didn't have a $900 car payment. Mine was much worse. I did not have a $900 car payment. However, I spent thousands of dollars every month on cars. Little upgrades, parts, every single month I was spending on cars. So I didn't have a $900 car payment. I had a, I could have afforded a Ferrari or Lamborghini in those days, but I was putting that much money into fixing up cars every single month. And I just can't help but, you know, me being 40 right now, just thinking back on all of that time in my 20s where, man, I could have, what I could have done with that money, what that money could have become 20 years later, 15 years later, things like this. If I would have listened to that older guy that gave me the game on life when I was, 18, 19, if I would have just listened to that old guy. But that's life, you know, and this is what I tell you guys. It's very important to have a mentor. It's very important to have someone in your life that can hold you accountable. This is why I tell you about the coaching sessions. I know a lot of people don't like to pay because they're being cheap, but trust me, if I can put you on a path, get you started early, that little money you're paying now pales in comparison to what you'll have later. And just like I say, when you go to moneychimp.com and you play with all the years and blah, 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 you'll see the difference 2-3 years makes, 5 years, 10 years makes. And if you want to continue to bullshit around for 2-3 years, you want to sit here and make excuses like, I'll just wait and start, you know, then. Okay. You'll see once you get 40, 50, 60 years old, how much more money you could have had if you wouldn't have played around. It will be hundreds of thousands of dollars by you wasting years and years. So, you know, I've been there before, done that, and the investing journey is not for the faint of heart. I mean, it really isn't. And it also depends on your level, right? Because some people, they want to still live a comfortable lifestyle while investing. And that's no problem with that. You know, some people stick to the traditional rule of 15, 20, 25% of your income you'll invest. And that's fine. You know, me, I'm a bit more aggressive. If you guys know my personality, it's a little bit more hardcore. And I'm not doing 20, 25%. I'm on a mission. I've got a goal and I'm trying to hit that. And if you want to have fun along the way and do that, that's fine. Do that. But just know, as you get older, you should make more money. As you get older, your portfolio size will be bigger, which means it's going to compound a lot heavier than it was when you were in year 2, 3, 5, whatever. In year 20, year 15, it's going to be compounding more. It might be compounding more than your annual contribution. Think about that. So imagine, you know, your portfolio gets to $500,000. And let's say your portfolio on average is, let's say it's compounding 10% on average. So once you get your portfolio valued to $500,000, that's $50,000 that it just compounded on its own. You had to do nothing for your portfolio to grow that 50 grand. But let's say you annually, let's say you are contributing $15,000 a year. So at that point, and I mean, much before that, your portfolio is growing faster than the amount of money that you're contributing. So that's one of those things that you need to take a look at. That's compounding. That's the power of compounding and you staying in the game long enough to actually feel the effects of it. You know, it's not one of, like I say, it's not a sexy thing. It's not one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna be sexy and do this. Now, there are many different ways to invest, guys. I know a lot of people who are self-employed, they like to say like, oh, you know, I don't have the option of the 401k, or I don't have a retirement plan, I don't have the IRA, blah, 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 blah. This is a lie. You have these options. As a barber or self-employed person, you can open up an IRA. You can have a 401k. You can do all of these things. It's the lack of knowledge. Or if you want to take a different route, that's up to you. But I just want you to know, all of these options are a possibility to you. Do not think that just because you're self-employed and you don't work for a company that has these certain, you know, little cute plans, don't think that you can't do this yourself. You can. And being self-employed, you get different options than people that actually work jobs. Now, I would suggest you go and talk to a financial planner about this. See what are your options. Preferably talk to someone that's fee only and just have a consultation with them and have them give you the options of what's available for you and see what's best for you and proceed from there if you want to go that route. Now, me personally, I prefer to handle it myself. You know, there are things that I do like and don't like about IRAs and 401ks, but we're not going to go into that. I just want to get you guys in the habit, because here's the thing. A lot of people say like, oh, what should I do? You know, should I do this or should I do that? Just do something, because the longer you stay out, the worse it is for you. Just as I told you, in those later years, you're wasting what? Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Once you get in some of those later years, you're wasting hundreds of thousands of dollars of compounding just by sitting out for a few years, trying to contemplate what you should do and blah, blah, blah. It's ridiculous. Okay. So in your 20s, take advantage of this golden opportunity. In your 30s, this is where it's really playtime's over. I already did the video of advice for barbers in the teens, 20s, 30s, and 40s. I've already done those videos, so I don't really want to harp on that too much. If you haven't watched any of those videos, go to the YouTube channel and find which one applies to you. I would highly recommend you watch if you're in your 30s, also watch the one from the 20s, because there can be some things in there that are helpful for you, and vice versa. Just like if you're in your 40s, I would recommend you go watch the one for your 30s, because there are different things in there that may apply and, you know, other things. But in your 30s, playtime should be over. You shouldn't be out here goofing off like you're in your 20s. This is where life gets really serious, because there are some people that goofed off in their 20s and maybe they're starting to put the work in their 30s to fix all the mistakes they made in their 20s. This is a common theme with guys. We do this. I did this. Guys, I did this. I goofed off in my 20s and I spent my 30s fixing everything that I messed up in my 20s. I don't want this for you guys. I'm really trying to help you. I do not want this for you guys. It's not fun. It's not cute at all. At all. Not cute. Get your shit together and do it the right way. You'll thank yourself for it. You, later on, you might thank me for it. But stay on the path, because this is the road less traveled. You know, if this was so easy, trust me, everyone would be doing it. Trust me on that. Everyone would be doing it if it were that easy. And it isn't. It's hard for some people to ignore, you know, FOMO, the comparison game. You know, these things are dangerous. You know, stay away from this stuff. Just run your race, guys. Run your race. This is why I don't worry about things that other people do, or I don't get distracted by, oh man, he's doing this over here, man, that's cool, man, and I'm doing this, oh, this sucks, like maybe I should try this. No, this is how you get in trouble, guys. When you go off the reservation and you start doing something that's not accustomed to what you're doing, you probably don't have the knowledge or expertise to run in that lane. You do something, get your ass blindsided, and now you got to start from square one. I've seen this happen a lot with people. So run your race, because here's the thing. Someone can brag and boast about a lot, right? They can brag and boast about a lot. But I'm here to tell you, that person that brags and boasts to you about something that, you know, they're doing that's better than you, I can guarantee you there's someone that can brag and boast on top of them. And then it can compound and go further and further along the little chain there. There's someone that can trump that guy. There's someone that can trump that guy. There's someone that can trump that guy. There's always a better opportunity out there. Just like guys in their ego. And, you know, a lot of guys think they're the baddest guy out. Like, no, I can't be touched. Nobody can fade me. Trust me, there's always someone bigger, better, faster, stronger. Okay. You just haven't met them yet. So same thing with investment opportunities or investing returns. There's always someone that's getting a better return than you. Trust me, you're not the one that's getting the golden goose, okay? And this also brings me to something that I mentioned earlier about the real estate, how people will have rental properties and some of them will make $100 a month, $150 a month, $200 a month. And this is off of a house, right? Now, this is something that's financed, of course. So after paying the taxes, the mortgage, insurance, you know, the property manager and any other fees or maintenance or whatever, they're only making $100 a month. So you see some of these guys saying, oh, I got a rental property, blah, 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 blah. A lot of times they're only making like $100, $200 a month profit. Now, one might say, with that, armed with this new bit of knowledge, why is it even worth it? It depends. It depends on what your game is. If you're looking for cash flow, you know, risking that much money for $100, $200 a month, like let's say you're risking a $200,000 home as a rental and you're risking all that leverage and whatever for that much money, for me, it's not worth it. I'd rather do it somewhere else. I know where I can get better returns, you know, leveraging that much money just to get that much. And no, I'd rather not. Which is funny, like I told you earlier, with my dividend portfolio, it's yielding me $200 a month. How kind of ironic how there are people out here that have rental properties that are cash flowing $100, $150, $200 a month. And I don't have to deal with tenants. I don't have to deal with toilets, busted drywall, AC unit failures, tenants not wanting to pay, evictions, nonsense. I don't have to deal with roofs, none of that. And I'm yielding this. And the amount of money that I am making is going to go up because the companies that I invest in my dividend portfolio, they are constantly raising their dividend every single year. Every year they're raising their dividend, which means I'm making more money. So by me investing money into these companies, I'm naturally making more money because of compounding. Now, of course, all companies compound at a different rate. It's really easy to figure out an individual company's compound annual growth rate. As far as we're talking about their dividend increase, compound annual growth rate, it's really easy to figure that out. And some increase at 5, 7, 10%. You know, I was looking at my portfolio recently and a few companies raised their dividends and I didn't even know it. So I had to plug it into the software and I was like, oh, cool, man, just got a raise again. Wow. So every year, pretty much all of the companies I have consecutively raised their dividends for a meaningful amount of time. Some of them, it's 10 years. Some of them, 20 years, 50 years, 60 plus years. I have companies that have this type of track record. And it's beautiful. Because you'll see some people in real estate say, like, I don't like to raise the rents. Now, you can say this is scarcity. You can say this is foolish. You can say like, oh, that's a good thing because, you know, his tenants won't leave. You can say whatever. But with dividends, I'm getting paid more every year for doing absolutely nothing. And I don't have to be fearful of, you know, I feel like I need to make more money. Let me try to raise this. No, these companies are going to raise it on their own just as long as they're profitable. as long as the company is doing well, they're going to raise that dividend. And me, the shareholder, I'm going to enjoy some of those fruits. So it's interesting when you compare the two, apples and oranges. Now, I do invest in real estate within the stock market. It's called REITs, guys, Real Estate Investment Trust. I invest in REITs within the stock market. So I'm getting real estate exposure. Like, no, I'm not a landlord or a commercial owner or whatever, but I invest in real estate companies in the stock market, and I get paid every single month from these companies. What's funny is I do have a goal with one of the particular companies that I do own is to get $100 a month from this company. This particular company, Realty Income Corp, they pay monthly. And one of my long-term goals is to have Realty Income Corp pay me $100 every month. That's one of my goals because, I have tons of short-term goals, and then, of course, I have my long-term goals with my dividend portfolio, but that goal is a goal where, like I told you, there are plenty of people out here getting $100, $200 a month in profit, like net, not gross, but net. Once all the bills are paid, they net that much per month. So imagine that I'm getting that same amount of money, but my money is in the stock market instead. Yeah, I get the capital appreciation on the actual holding itself, just like you would in real estate. But I also get those monthly payments, just like this person would get their monthly payments from a tenant. And my amounts are going up every year. So that's a short-term goal for me. I'm actually kind of curious, how much money am I getting from Realty Income Corp? I think it may be like $20-something a month. Let me see. Yep, $21.75. Now, that's not the only company, real estate company that I invest in the stock market. I also invest in Simon Property Group. You guys probably know Simon Property Group, or probably have seen, if you guys ever go to like some shopping malls or something, you probably see like Simon Property Group. Realty Income Corp, honestly, you probably regularly patron the businesses that Realty Income Corp has in their portfolio. I'm going to actually try to look up some of them. I'm going to look up some of their tenants. Let me see if it'll actually tell me who some of their tenants are. Sorry, I'm doing this live. So sorry, I apologize. So here's a few. Let me expand this. So Realty Income Corp, because I'm on their website right now. So their top 20 clients, 7-Eleven, Walgreens, Dollar General, FedEx, Sainsbury. Don't really know that company, but the name sounds familiar. Dollar Tree, Family Dollar, LA Fitness, AMC Theaters. Made some good money on AMC this year, by the way. Regal Cinema, Walmart, Sam's Club, Lifetime Fitness, Barbecue Kingfisher. Whew, as we go down the line, some of these brands. BJ's Whole Food Wholesale Clubs. Don't know them. Tesco, Circle K. We all know Circle K, I hope. Treasury Wine Estates. Don't know them. CVS. We know them. Home Depot, Kroger. We all know them. Fastmart. Some investment firm. But the vast majority of these companies that are in their portfolio, their top 20 clients, we patron these businesses. I can tell you, out of one of these places, I've been at some of these places at least some point every month. I was in Walmart yesterday. I was in Sam's Clubs yesterday. I was in Home Depot a few weeks ago. And this is the company that I invest in. These are some of their tenants. So this is a way where you can invest without having to be fully exposed to real estate. So I love the stock market. I'm not against real estate, because real estate will be one of my income sources in retirement. I actually like real estate. It's really fun. But I like when people do things right, just like with investing. I like when people do things the right way. And there's no right or wrong way to, well, actually, yes, there is. There is a wrong way to invest, yeah. But there's no, how do you say this without not sounding like an idiot? I'll just say it anyway. I'm just going to sound like an idiot. There's no wrong way to invest, okay? caveat, there is, okay? I'm telling you, there is a wrong way to invest. But what I'm trying to say is just get in there and start investing, but do it the right way. So when I say there's no wrong way to invest, when you're doing it the right way, there's no wrong way to invest. That's how I should have said that. So when you're doing things properly, there's no wrong way to invest, guys. So I hope you guys take this information, run with it, because I don't want you guys in your 30s and in your 20s screwing up, man. Your barbers are making a lot of money these days. And what are you doing with the money? You know, every time I get money, I'm excited because I'm like, ooh, I can put this into my portfolio. I can, you know, do this and then make it grow. I can put this over here and, you know, it'll do this. I get excited watching my portfolio grow because I know year over year as it compounds, because I'm not taking those dividends and spending it on anything silly. I'm just reinvesting all these dividends that I get, which means that's going to help my stockpile build quicker and quicker and quicker. So there will come a time where I can start drawing down, or not drawing, I shouldn't use the word drawing down because that means I'm actually taking the principal, where I should start collecting dividends, but leave the principal intact, but take the dividends and start growing them. Because at some point, maybe I'll stop contributing to my dividend portfolio. And maybe I'll turn the drip off where I'm not dripping. Sounds so creepy. But maybe I will, you know, because you leave the drip on, it'll go a little bit faster. Turn the drip off, hey, you know, you just get those annual increases. But I want you guys to get started, guys. Again, if you want coaching, planning, help with all this stuff, like where to go, how to get started, maybe you just don't know anything and need some help with the basics. Now, of course, I recommend that you check out the internet and just do some basic research and then, you know, figure out what you like, because maybe my style is not for you. Maybe you want to be a little bit more aggressive. Maybe you have more interest in business instead, you know, and I like business too, but I don't like the responsibilities of being a business owner. This is why I think I told you guys this, where I'm not interested in opening a barbershop anymore. That idea has left my mind. I do not care about opening a barbershop anymore. I'm done with that whole idea. I want to be as carefree as possible, but also making good money. So that's where I stand. So I appreciate you guys for tuning in, guys. Again, if you need help, hit me up. We'll talk more about this stuff later. I'm going to get back to my day. It's my day off. It's Tuesday. And I hope you guys are having a wonderful Tuesday or Wednesday. Depends on when you're listening to this. It's been your man. I do a signing out. Holla.